This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
We welcome you to the second half of the program. It always gives me such great pleasure to welcome our next guest to the show. He is John Adams, longtime columnist at the Knoxville News Sentinel, and he's made a lot of news this week just reinforcing to his bosses the value of his column in that community. If you haven't seen this headline, a Tennessee soccer player has endorsed John's column for really big bucks. I knew the newspaper industry was on fire. I didn't realize it was a raging inferno. John Adams joins us from Knoxville. John, first of all, thank you for joining us. Congratulations. For the audience who has not been following this, could you give us the backstory?
Sure, Paul. A few weeks ago, in light of all that's going on with name, image, and likeness and athletes, college athletes being able to make money off NIL, I jokingly mentioned in a column that I would give $20 to any UT football player who wanted to endorse the column. Then went on with the column, not thinking any more about it. The next morning, I got an email from a UT freshman soccer player named Claire Rain, and she wanted to endorse my column. So we exchanged emails and then text and had a phone conversation and decided to do a column with her and a video. And she was all on board with this. It was tongue-in-cheek, and we did the video as a satire, and both acting very seriously as though this was a momentous occasion. She was about to get her first pro payday, and I hand her that $20 bill, which kind of is a reflection that the newspaper business might be perking up a bit. $20, I'll see if the newspaper reimburses me that for that. I'm not real optimistic. But anyway, we did this interview, and Claire did it beautifully. She's got a great sense of humor, very good on camera. She's a communications journalism major. So if you guys have any, if you guys hire interns, I would highly recommend that you hire her. I think she would be really good. But anyway, she punctuated the interview by doing a backflip, executed it perfectly.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I have not followed the New Sentinel. Is it still owned by the Scripps Howard Company?
you really hadn't followed it,
because
no.
Okay, because the only reason I bring that up is I used to work for that company, and I
know.
And I was about to say $20 was a big deal to the people that ran that company. I can assure you.
Do you think when you worked with Scripps Howard that you could have gotten reimbursed for paying a Tennessee soccer player $20? You think they would have let that go?
I don't mean to air dirty laundry. I think they still owe me a significant amount of money from, no, I don't. I'm glad to know that you have new ownership in Knoxville, but I mean, I when we would travel by plane, which was very rare, as you well know, I think I once went to New York by way of Las Vegas or something, because it was a cheaper flight.
Well,
does that ring any bells?
It all worked out for you. It all worked out. We're actually owned by Gannett now.
Oh, okay.
And we are allowed to fly places. So,
well, that is a very good. That is a very good company. Very, very impressed with Gannett. They're great people. So let me. By the way, was that the only taker for your column? This one soccer player.
Yes, it was, Paul. But okay. I really think You know how opportunity knocks sometimes, and a lot of people just don't pay attention, and they let a great opportunity go by. And I think years from now, when Claire's on her way to stardom, other people are going to say, why didn't I endorse John Adams's column for $20?
Well, I have to tell you, John,
don't look at that initial payday. Look at the big picture, and I think that's what Claire did.
Well, considering your reputation, I mean, you've been in this job, what, 30-some-odd years? You've been there a while.
Yeah, 30-some. Yes, huh? Since 1987.
Okay. That's a long time to. By the way, that's a long time to hold a newspaper job. But we purposely got the good news out of the way first. Now let's get to the news of the day, and that's that Tennessee is reporting to camp. In these 30-some-odd years that you've covered the University of Tennessee, I'm guessing this might be one of the most mysterious UT teams that you've ever encountered.
Certainly, Paul. And I would like to mention that usually when you call me to be on your show, Tennessee football is on the verge of an apocalypse. And that's not the case this time. So this is a little different. Had media day today. The coaches were all very good. You had the Josh Heupel, the head coach, the offensive coordinator, Alex Gullish, and defensive coordinator, Tim Banks, all upbeat and had a lot of players meet with the media. So four different quarterbacks. Have you ever been to a media day at a school where you had the opportunity to speak to four quarterbacks? They've got a four-man competition for quarterbacks. And that kind of underscores how serious the competition is. They wanted every one of them to meet with the media, so they didn't want to slight anybody, so they were all there. So it was kind of unusual. But this is a different situation. And all these UT coaches through the years, you know how it's gone. Every coach comes in and talks about a rebuilding job and how little is left over for him and how – in such dire shape the depth chart is. But, Paul, this really is a dire situation. You've lost 30-something players to the transfer portal. You gained some, but not that many. Then you've got the cloud of an NCAA investigation just hanging over your head. It won't go away. You know how that works. That's almost worse than whatever the final sentence is itself. So given all of that, I just think Josh Heupel is coming into the toughest situation that any UT football coach has had since I've been here, and that covers 30-something years.
And which I'm sure, John, makes it even more difficult to try to guess. I know this time of the year we all are trying to figure out what this team is going to do, but as you try to – and I don't know how you can possibly evaluate – the depth chart. What are your thoughts on what this team is capable of?
You're right, Paul. It's really kind of a toss-up. I really think because of the schedule, Tennessee kind of gets a break in the schedule this year. Next season's schedule will be tougher, and so will the 2023 schedule. But this year, the non-conference games, three of them are jokes. Leading off with Bowling Green, maybe the worst FBS team in the country. And then you have Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's a middle-of-the-road ACC team. But that's going to be a really big game. I think that might be the game on Tennessee's schedule. If it can win that, it could have a winning season. I think if it wins that, it's going to a bowl game. To me, a 6-6 season, given all the obstacles this group of coaches has had to overcome, I think 6-6 would be a good year, and you get to go to a bowl game.
John, you mentioned, and that would be something, you mentioned the NCAA cloud, and since this investigation began, the NCAA has pretty much become a non-factor, and giving money to players has been legalized. I'm just wondering how Tennessee must feel having thrown itself at the mercy of the court and have already pled guilty now that the NCAA is just about out of business.
Yeah, of course, that's unfortunate. If Tennessee had only known, Paul, I really think, though, that Tennessee did the right thing. I think it handled it the right way. Dondé Plowman is an upgrade over – she's the chancellor. She's an upgrade over the chancellors and presidents UT has had in recent years. And I give her credit for handling it the way she did. I know it was a difficult situation, but they had a – they really needed a clean house with football coach, AD, and all that stuff. And they did that. And you kind of have to let the chips fall where they may. You're right. I guess what Tennessee is should be hoping for is that the NCAA might disintegrate. When I was drafted into the Army, in 1970, I had a bad lottery number. I knew I was going to have to go in. I was supposed to go in October, and I appealed. I appealed, and I asked the director at our board if I could appeal. And they said, well, what would you appeal on? I said, well, I don't have anything to appeal on. I just want to appeal. I wanted to delay it as long as possible. So I did that. I made an appeal based on nothing. And so I didn't have to go in until February. And you remember with the Vietnam War in full force back then, a few months could make a big difference. So I ended up going in 71 and was in there for a year and 9 months. But Tennessee... Maybe Tennessee can hope to just keep delaying this thing. Normally, you don't want to see a delay with an NCAA Senate, but it could work to its advantage. It's like it might just disappear. The NCAA, the Big 12, they might just poof, all go away.
John, I'm curious because there were at one time there was some talk that maybe Tennessee would self-impose a bowl ban for this year. So I mean, we're knocking on the door of the season. Would you say that that is moving off the table because of the problems with the NCAA?
Paul, I haven't been in favor of that. I know you can make a really good argument for that. My reasoning is Tennessee is next year, if you impose your own self-impose a bowl ban and you don't go this year, you may not go next year either, or maybe even the year after that. I think you've got a good shot at going to a bowl this year. And I just think it means something to the program. Tennessee hasn't been to a bowl game in 3 of the past 4 years. You know how it is in December and early January when everybody in the world, it seems as though they're playing in a bowl game. I mean, you've got teams from the WAC. I guess the WAC is still alive. You got Southland Conference teams. It's just Mid-American Conference teams. They're all in bowl games, multiple teams from those conferences. And so you're sitting there and you're not in a bowl game. It's just a really bad look. I mean, you're just left out of this party that seems to include almost everyone. So for that reason, I think it would be good to leave that alone, take your chances with the NCAA, and go ahead and go to, if you get a chance, play in a bowl this year and then worry later about what the NCAA will do if there is an NCAA.
And, John, final question. It's a question that everyone has been talking about over the last 2 weeks. Your reaction to the news that Oklahoma and Texas are about to enter the SEC?
Paul, I think it's great. I guess I used to think of myself as a traditionalist in terms of college football. But things are changing. Nothing stays the same. It either declines or it gets better. And I think this was a move the SEC had to make. If the SEC doesn't add those teams, somebody's adding those programs. And so this is a chance for the SEC to flex its muscles and to remain superior to all these other conferences in college football. So I think it was a great move. When you go back and you look at these other – the additions – the SEC has made in adding teams since 1992. Really, A&M comes close, but really longstanding tradition. Oklahoma and Texas are the biggest players. I mean, they dwarf programs like Missouri, Arkansas, South Carolina. So to me, you had to make this move or you get left behind.
Fantastic conversation with John Adams, the longtime Knoxville News Sentinel sports columnist. John, thanks for being a part of the show. We look forward to seeing you this fall.
Thanks, Paul. Take care.
You got it. Always one of my favorites. And I'm just amazed. He's been in that job since 1987 and remains very popular among all the ball fan bases. We will take a break. More to come. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. John Wilner later in the program from out west. He's the sage of the Pac-12. We'll talk to him about this meeting today between the Pac-12 and the Big 12, and if anything comes of that. We are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
And back here on the program, Patrick is up next in Texas. Good afternoon, Patrick. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing today?
We're doing fantastic. Thank you.
All right. So I have a bit of a long-form question to ask you, if that's okay?
Of course.
All right. So I know we're all bringing in the Longhorns into the SEC. You're bringing in their money, their program name. But what most people seem to forget is they're also bringing in a history of conference instability from them. You can ask anyone from the Old Southwest, from what you're currently doing in the Big 12, and you have a culture that is obviously a more West Coast culture. There's a reason why they've constantly flirted with the Pac-12 up to this point. So I guess my question is, do you feel from a cultural standpoint that the Longhorns are an actual fit, and what sort of checks and balances the SEC needs to do to keep both the egos and the superiority complex of the Longhorns in check to provide the needed stability so we don't have repeats of the past? Thank you.
Yeah, well, I think some of that came, came as a result of, Texas was a big winner for a long, long time. You heard Coach Stallings talk about that. They are not anymore, and they still have the bravado. They have the money. They have the name, and I think they'll adjust to the SEC. But the SEC has the biggest name in college football right now and the biggest brand in college football right now. So I think that is the biggest difference that they will encounter. Thank you for the call. Johnny is up next in Texas. Good afternoon, Johnny. Welcome to our show. I do not hear Johnny. We'll try to get Johnny on again. Rock is up next, also in Texas. Hello, Rock. Go right ahead.
Well, and yourself, Paul?
We're doing great. Thank you very much.
Well, I find myself bewildered because Patrick literally took the question out of my mouth about the culture of Texas and the SEC. But since he already asked that, in the last few years, A&M and Texas have been competing as far as recruiting goes, and now they finally get to have the Lone Star Showdown again. As far as school rivalries go, with Iron Bowl, the Egg Bowl, Georgia and Florida, the Battle of the Golden Boot, where do you think that the Lone Star Showdown will go down in the SEC rivalries? Will it be much consequence, or will it be overshadowed?
I think it would be very significant. Let's just think about for a moment the potential. We know what the rivalries already are. A&M and Texas, Texas and Arkansas, Texas and LSU, Oklahoma, Texas. I mean, to me, that is, it's impossible to get a bigger one than that. But what are the potential rivalries? They are pretty endless, I think, in many respects. Oklahoma, Arkansas, Alabama, in anyone. So I think when you start out, what games do I want to see? I want to see that game. I want to see the Aggies play Texas. I want to see OU play Texas. So I think we start off on day one, whenever day one is, with some fantastic rivalries, don't you?
I think so too. I can't wait for Jimbo to take Sarkisian to the woodshed. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, but that is to me such a traditional game. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, movies and plays, were done as a result of that famous rivalry. And I do think, not that I'm the schedule maker, but I do think that should go back to Thanksgiving weekend. That's when we expect to see that game. Hey, thank you very, very much for the call. Let's continue and check in with David, who is in Dothan, Alabama. Hello, David.
Hey, Paul.
Good afternoon.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. You sound great.
I've been watching your show last week and today, especially, since the bomb dropped. And was just wanting to say, there's been callers that touched on this and that. One caller from Georgia last week mentioned realigning the SEC as far as Alabama and Georgia, moving them to the east. One caller said Missouri didn't belong in the SEC. Conferences getting together, realigning, reconstituting, and everything else, well, there's things that we all ought to be thinking about, and that's how do you determine the best team in the countries? You know, is expanding the playoff the key? No, I think it's realigning, readjusting, reconstituting, and scheduling. And I'm not sure how that all works out, but the SEC commissioner mentioned competitiveness is the reason for Texas and Oklahoma was added to the SEC, but you know, I don't see Oklahoma and Vandy being a nail biter. You know, what's your thoughts, Paul?
Well, David, in all candor, nobody in Vanderbilt has been a nail biter for a while, so you have to figure out, I think, a way to do this geographically where everyone plays its traditional rivals or plays a facsimile of that. Something has to give. And
yeah, you can't do it all geographically.
No.
You've got to consider historic rivalries.
Yeah.
You've got to consider a lot of things. But we all need to work together. Conferences, I think they should all get together and try to work something out to make college football the best it can be. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I think that's a really good suggestion, and ultimately I think they'll get there. And you know, we have yet to hear any guidance. So I know that the SEC wants to get all of its people in the same room, and you know exactly the legality of bringing Texas and Oklahoma into this conversation. They should have a right to be in the conversation. And I've heard people say it's not about who you don't want to play. We know Florida and LSU don't really want to play each other every year. It's a great game for us, but it's a challenge for both because it's a lot to swallow. So it's not about who you don't want to play. I think it's about who you do want to play. So I think everyone will be asked, okay, let's rank the games. And if you're a Texas fan, you know Oklahoma is going to be played, and you also know A&M is going to be played. So what happens? What's after that? What are your priorities? If you ask Alabama or Auburn's on that list, but who else is on that list? What's the next most important game you want to see? Alabama LSU has been the biggest game in the country often over the past 15 years. Alabama-Tennessee is the most traditional game on Alabama's schedule going back to the beginning of the SEC. If you're Ole Miss, you know Mississippi State's on there. LSU's important. So, I mean, it's a question for every different school and athletic director, and I'm sure those questions are already being asked, whether they're being asked formally or informally. And I know the media is speculating, but ultimately the schools will chime in here. We're up against a break. More to come. We'll head to the West Coast in the final hour and find out more about the proposed meeting or the reported meeting today between the Big 12 and the Pac-12. More of your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Welcome back here on a Tuesday afternoon. Greg is up next. Greg, good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, how you doing today?
Greg, we are well. Thank you for asking.
Well, you called me right in the middle of the store. I didn't think I was going to get through this quick.
Well, I'm glad you did.
Noah that called in yesterday, was that the same young man that was at the last time you were at Auburn on the stage that kind of stole the show?
I don't think so. I do remember that guy. That kid was amazing. I'm trying to. He did the. Didn't he sing the Call Paul song or something like
he
that?
He did. He sang that, and I was there at the show there, and I was kind of amazed. I figured, well, maybe this was him that was that had called in on you. He was pretty intelligent on
that. Yeah, no, this kid was really good. I was really concerned about that young man that day. I said, you know, it's one thing to scream something out while we're off the air, but how is he going to handle the moment? And it was the guy never blinked an eye. He was made for the stage.
But anyhow, what I was calling to ask you was. What do you think Pat Dye would have thought about Brian Harsin? You know him. You've been around him. You interviewed him a lot. In fact, I would love to get that last interview you had with him.
Oh, man,
Auburn.
that was priceless.
What do you think?
Greg,
how would he?
I don't think I can answer that until I get a better understanding of what Brian Harsin looks like defensively. And I say that jokingly because Pat Dye – if you didn't play defense and special teams, he didn't care about you.
That's true.
He was the all-time traditionalist, and he thought that's the way the SEC should be played, and it didn't matter. So I don't know. I mean, I think he probably would like the Derek Mason hire. I will say this, and I've only been around Harsin once, and that was 2 weeks ago. And Harsin, I think he would have liked the steely-eyed, serious of Brian Harsin, which I do like. I don't know what he's going to be like as a coach. I worry about his recruiting ability in the SEC because it is a different world than what he's used to. But I think Coach Dye would have liked that.
Yeah, you know, and I just wondered if he had been on the coach's recruiting tour that he would have even gave him the time to think about, you know, coming to Auburn. So I was just curious what you thought about that.
Yeah, I mean – Coach Dye was, you know, he was so hardened in the football that he grew up playing in Georgia, and then later what he learned. And people forget he spent 9 years in Tuscaloosa under Coach Bryant. A lot of football
in
was
fact,
learned there.
If you go to some of the barbecue places there in Birmingham and around the state, you'll see him with Coach Bryant hunting together.
Yeah,
I
have that picture up at home, and it is one of the greatest pictures I've ever seen. That picture was taken, I believe, by a Birmingham News photographer right after Coach Dye got to Auburn. Coach Bryant invited him down. I think it was his lodge to go hunting, and the main reason was to try to probably work him over. That is such a classic picture, a lot of you have seen it, but if you haven't, it's one of the greatest pictures I've ever seen.
Well, the last thing I want to ask you was, did you ever go to any of the Tennessee-Alabama games when it was at Legion Field?
Yes. The first time I went to an Alabama-Tennessee game was when I was a junior in college. And I will tell you, it was one of the most exciting things I've ever been to, because I had not been to Legion Field before, and to be there for an Alabama-Tennessee game. And I got to see many of them. I mean, Alabama played Tennessee at Legion Field, I believe, until 87 or 89.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't remember when the last one was. But, I saw Peyton lead the lead the band it was either 85 or 87. I can't remember which year it was.
Well, I tell you, if you remember, some of those banners that Tennessee fans got to see on the way back home were, some of them were kind of mean-spirited there, but it'd be interesting to see that maybe played again down the future with some of those rivalries there.
Well, thank you for the call, Greg. It was great to go. I would give it – I mean, there are so many people that you encounter – in your life that you would always like to have one more interview with, but I could interview Coach Dye every day. And I will tell you, the last two times we were with him in Auburn, there was one night, it wasn't the last one, but it may have been the next to the last one. I would rank it among the most riveting 30 or 40 minutes I have ever encountered on this show. We just went back in time, and I had to be reminded to go to the break, because I mean I did not want to stop him. He was sitting up there on the stage with us, and it was priceless. Anyway, we'll take a few more calls here as we continue. Johnny, we'll try Johnny one more time here. Johnny, what's going on?
Hey, Paul. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
So I was wondering, how do you think the Texas A&M team is going to do without Kellen Mond?
Well, I know that Jimbo has not named a starter yet, but I think most people out there have a pretty good idea where it's going. I think they'll be okay. I think that is an untested position, but I will tell you this: that team is really deep and talented, and even though Kellen Mond has gone, I'm not sure they're going to regress any.
And do you think that? Who do you think will be the starter?
I think I'm hesitant to guess. I believe I would go with Haynes. What about you?
Oh, I don't really know that much about who the quarterbacks are that much. I usually just pay attention to the team, really.
Well, we will do some more conversations about that, but I think they have a pretty good idea who it's going to be. Hey, thanks for the call. Up against the break, more to come. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. Final hour, we'll go out west, find out what the Pac-12 thinks of this Big 12 dalliance. Probably not very much.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We welcome you back. John is up next in Oklahoma here. Good afternoon, John.
Hey, Paul. I was just curious if you would be embarrassed if you were an Aggie, by the way, the SEC and the other schools went behind your back.
Well, certainly I wouldn't be happy. I'll put it that way.
Do you think it shows just a bad culture there?
In where, at Texas A&M or somewhere, or the SEC?
At Texas A&M.
No, I just think they felt like they had to be heard on the issue, and I think their biggest issue was being kept in the loop. But on the other hand, to this day, I don't know exactly how much they were kept in the loop, but and it doesn't really matter. But, you know, I mean, they were the school that Texas coming into the SEC impacted the most. And, you know, at first you heard the former president talk about these promises made many years ago. But, you know, quite frankly, things change.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe there was ever a hard and firm agreement where, you know, once you come into the league, we'll never bring Texas in. Because quite frankly, who would have in 2011, who would have thought Texas was ever a candidate to come into the SEC?
Nobody.
I mean, I would have. I'm not sure I thought they were 6 months ago, but, you know, none of us could have predicted how Texas fell.
Do you think either Texas or Oklahoma will have an immediate impact?
Yes, I do. I think Oklahoma, you know, Oklahoma could play in the SEC today without missing a beat. And I know some of you can argue about past games. I might direct you to the most recent Oklahoma SEC game in the Cotton Bowl last year. It was pretty ugly. And I realize there were circumstances involved, but I think Oklahoma is one of the top teams in the country. They could definitely play. I think Texas would have a very tough time right now, but that's self-explanatory.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can't wait to see the Sooners beat the Aggies and the Longhorns beat the Aggies.
Why do you think they acted the way they did?
You know, I really couldn't say. You know more about college football than I do, and you didn't know, so.
Well, let me tell you what the theory was in Hoover 2 weeks ago. You know, some thought, there were flat out accusations by people there that Texas A&M officials leaked the story. Now,
that's what I'm asking about. Yeah,
I will tell you, I asked a high ranking A&M official, and I mean a high ranking A&M official, he flat out denied that. But it was rather ironic. And I know what Ross Bjork has said, that he'd been to media days in the past. And that is a fact. But the timing of it was really curious.
Very curious, yes, sir.
And I will tell you that on that Wednesday, there were some rumblings. This story was out there. I can assure you of that. But on that particular Wednesday, most of the information that was being pushed about the story came from one particular school, and you know who it is.
Yes. Well. Thank you for your time, Paul.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah, and the rest of this you can read in the book, but I don't really want to go any deeper than that. Mike is up next in College Station. Hello, Mike.
Hey, Paul. How's it going?
Hey, we're doing great. Thank you.
So I had a different conversation prepared for you, but this caller before me, he's got me going.
Go, sure.
I'm an Aggie grad. 28 other people in my family are Aggie grads. My daughter's going to be a freshman this year at A&M. And there's no way in heck. We're not a bad school. We're not bad karma. We're not bad people. We're actually probably some of the best schools and one of the most unique schools besides Alabama. And we're going to prove to Alabama October 9th. We're going to prove to you. You and I had a pretty heated talk in November last year about how I think A&M's going to do next year. And I believe you're right about who the quarterback's going to be. I think it's not going to matter because I don't think Kellen Mond was that great of a quarterback.
I agree. I hear Haynes King is really
Jimbo,
good.
Yes. And I got to see him at Longview in the state championship game. And he really impressed me. He really, really did. Here's my issue. Do you think it's going to hurt A&M's recruiting? Because now we used to be able to take players from Texas.
Well, let me jump in. Mike, I think it could affect A&M a little bit, but I think A&M is so strong right now that nothing is going to stop them. Thanks for the call.